We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
One more story.
All right. I can't wait to hear it.
If you were walking along the beach and you saw a large package wrapped in a black trash bag, do you think you'd pull it out of the water?
Probably not, because no good can come from that.
Well, no good came from it for a family in Fripp Island, South Carolina. Vacationing, they saw a package floating in the water, took it out of the water, put it in their golf cart, brought it back to their condo, and opened it up to find 44 pounds of cocaine inside.
Yeah, and you know what the bad part about that is?
What's the bad part?
Somebody's going to be looking for that 44 pounds of cocaine.
You think?
Yep.
Police believe, though, that the owners may have become separated from it during Hurricane Dorian, and that's why it washed ashore. Say it's worth $600,000 on the street, and they're now looking for the rightful owners.
If they were playing golf, first of all, they need to take a couple of lessons if the ball was on the beach.
Oh, yeah? What do you do when the ball goes on the beach?
Well, you shouldn't hit it there in the first place. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You need to take a couple of lessons because...
Oh, take lessons before you play. I got it.
Exactly, because if you're on the beach, either hooking it or slicing it or something, and you push and pull, and you need to keep it on the fairway.
Yeah, I have a feeling they knew when they saw that bobbing around in the water. It was not something that they wanted to mess with.
It's either going to be drugs or it's going to be a dismembered body.
Yeah, I don't want either one in my condo.
Nope, me neither. I doubt that it's going to be, you know, a genie's lamp, Aladdin's lamp with something. That's not going to happen.
I'm thinking about those three wishes, yes.
Just leave it there and go about your way and try to get the ball back on the fairway. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Ron Fauché about the political divide in our country, and we're in the middle of formulating a poll that will ask you, our Blue Runner Gumbo Opinion Poll, do you hang out with people that just believe the same things as you do, or do you hang out with people that believe different things? I like different things, because otherwise, what kind of conversation can you have? Man, that trumps this, huh? Yeah. It is 7:16. It's still going to turn cool, I guess, by the weekend. It seems as though those numbers keep getting revised upward. Highs of 90 today with a 40% chance for showers, 88 tomorrow, same chance for rain. That diminishes to 20% in the morning on Saturday, highs of 76 as a cool front, I guess we're going to call it, comes through. Then Sunday, highs of 88, and we're back into the mid to upper 80s early next week. Our Blue Runner Gumbo Opinion Poll asking you, do you only hang out with people who share your political beliefs? It's 50-50 right now. As for me and me only, I think that is the most boring thing in the world, because I guess any successful play, movie, piece of music, you got to have tension and release. You got to have conflict. But maybe that's just me. Ron Fauché joins us, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Good morning, Ron. How you doing?
Good morning. Happy to be with you.
Thank you, sir. How important is political affiliation to people? And when you look at that thing that happened with Ellen and George Bush, while seemingly silly on the surface, it's not really, because she took a lot of heat from other celebrities for sitting in Jerry Jones's box, sitting next to George Bush, seemingly having a good time watching the game. And it just seems to me that people are not necessarily just the sum of what they believe politically, right?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, in recent years, politics has sort of flooded the decks of American society, and it's affecting, you know, almost everything we do. And we ran a poll not too long ago that showed that, you know, political developments actually were affecting people's happiness. So it really has gone too far. And you know, for somebody like me who has studied politics, been in politics, you know, for many years, I think there's too much politics and there's too much campaigns and there's too much in terms of, you know, just obsession with who's up and who's down every day. And I think we need to recognize the importance of politics and what it can do in electing the right people, but at the same time, not always let it affect our personal lives like that.
What troubles me, Ron, is I don't see this coming back. Do you, going back to initial or where it was a long time ago? It seems like it just could keep getting worse. Or do you reach a boiling point or a tipping point where it does revert back to the way it was?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. I tend to think that maybe it can kind of simmer down a little bit over time, but for the foreseeable future, it you know, as the old saying goes, it'll get worse before it gets worse.
Has it? You know, I go back to the Godfather with it's not personal, it's just business. Has it changed, you know, back when you first started and so forth? Was it just business and not personal, but now has it become intensely personal?
Oh, I think it really has become intensely personal, and I think it has changed over the years. And I think a lot of it is due to the sort of polarization of the political parties that particularly in a place like Louisiana, where we had, a lot of people who were, you know, voting Democratic and Republican, and they weren't as polarized as they were now, as they are now. And I think that's changed a lot.
Let me take a break. We come back and want to talk to you about negative campaigning. Ron Fauché, our guest, political analyst and publisher of the Lunchtime Politics newsletter. I presume that is already, as always, happened, but I don't know if it's getting worse. 720 traffic now, WWL. 726, Tommy Tucker now at WWL. We're talking with Ron Fauché, our guest, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics, about how important is a political party to your identity. Do you get along with people who believe the opposite of what you do? And our Blue Runner Gumbo is opinion poll is asking you, do you have friends who don't share your political beliefs? 75% are saying yes. I'll be optimistic and say that's accurate, but I got my doubts. Ron, some texts have come in, and I'd like to pass them along, if I may. Somebody says social media has changed everything. Somebody else texted in and said, it all went to hell when CNN came on with the 24-hour a day, 7-day-a-week news cycle.
Well, I think some of those comments are correct, that technology has given us tools, the 24-hour-a-day news cycle, the 24-hour-a-day internet coverage and social media that has enlarged the idea of political conflict and political polarization and listening to only people who agree with you, and I think that's correct. I think all of those comments are hitting it right on the nail.
When you see, some people are saying that it's the, quote, liberal networks that are dividing the country, and others saying that Fox is the only people that represent the country. I mean, obviously, people have different views. But whomever it is, when you see this screen, and let's face it, conflict makes for good television, right? So when you see the screen and they got like six people up there and one of them screaming at the other and the other one screaming at the third one who's got a beef with the fourth one on the screen, do people take their lead from TV? And because that conversation is less than civil and the TV producers really don't want it to be because that could be kind of boring, do people perhaps take their cue from that and think, yeah, I am mad and yeah, they are stupid?
Well, I think a lot of people do, but I think what's more troubling is we're getting more and more to a society where people are only reading and listening to other people who agree with them. And while that may be easier to do and more satisfying, if you're never hearing the other side or the other perspective, then it makes this polarization worse. It demonizes the opposition. And then people get to a point where they say, well, we're in a battle, good versus evil. And that's when politics starts flowing into people's personal lives. So all of these things have had a big impact. I think technology's had a big impact. I think money in politics has had a big impact. I think the way these talk shows have covered politics and have given people a point of view without news and facts. I think all of this has made the situation worse.
Let me jump in real quick with a question about the local elections. Negative campaigning, I don't know if people say they like it or they don't like it, but it must work because people do it, right?
Well, it does work, and that's why they do it. And every time you do a poll and ask voters if they like it, they say no, they don't. But then it affects people's opinion in the campaign.
I appreciate your time, Ron. I really do. I hope you have a good day.
Thank you.
Ron Fauché, political analyst, publisher of the Lunchtime Politics newsletter. It's 7:30. More when we come back. 260-1870. If you want to get involved, you can text your comment to 87870, and I'll try to pass it along. Right now, time for WWL First News, and for that, we go to Dave Cohen.
Thank you, Joshua. I'm Dave Cohen. Now, Tommy Tucker, one more story.
Yeah, I kind of figured there would be.
Officials in southwest Missouri are sticking small flags in piles of abandoned dog poop as part of a campaign trying to get residents to clean up after their pets in downtown. The police department in Springfield, Missouri, says the flags have messages on them that say things like, "Is this your turd? Because that's absurd." Or, "This is a nudge to pick up the fudge."
Okay.
I don't know why they think this is going to get someone who otherwise wouldn't pick up after their dog to go ahead and do so.
I don't know, but I know when you walk in your dog, you should always carry the bag with you and pick up, because it's not right to leave it where it shouldn't be or to leave it on some neighbor's lawn. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Michael Rubin, a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, to talk about Turkey and the Kurds and Syria and what happened, and did the United States cause it? What happens from now? I'll tell you this, it's a mess. We'll talk about it when we come back, WWL. The maids will be at my house tomorrow, and I got to tell you, after fooling around and playing with Betsy the Boxer and roughhousing and all that stuff, we need them. They need to come. But they're going to get all of the pet hair. I know that, and the house will smell better and feel better. You know how to get that allergic kind of thing going on? They'll get the dust and dirt and crumbs and cobwebs and grease and grime and, of course, Betsy hair and whatever else is floating around the house. Bonded and insured, four ladies come to your home. Well, they'll be at my home tomorrow, and they have a 22-step systematic cleaning procedure that they follow. Four people are going to do it better than one. And considering they each have an area, they don't go about it willy-nilly, helter-skelter, whatever the rest of those words are. They're new to New Orleans. Well, actually, not really. They've been around 4 years now. They have over 500 customers. The estimate is free. Call them. Get an estimate. You never know. 504-883-5000, 504-883-5000. Let the maids clean your home. 744, 16 before 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. LSU tickets to see them eat the Florida Gators. Tiger bait. We'll have a chance for you to win those before 9 o'clock when you hear Eye of the Tiger, and I'll make it pretty clear when it's time to win. We all know, I think, by now, President Trump's decision to pull back, I think it is, American troops and not necessarily withdraw. We'll find out in a second from Michael Rubin. And it seems as though that has had some immediate consequences. Resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, we welcome in Michael Rubin. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm well. Maybe we can start with a little background on the Kurds and fighting ISIS and the United States' role in all of this, and Turkey. What's been going on for a while now?
Well, you know, there's no shortage of animosity between the Turks and the Kurds. The Kurds have fought an insurgency inside Turkey since 1984, although in recent years it's been pretty slow. What happened, basically, is the United States has traditionally worked with Turkey. Turkey is an important NATO member. There are more men under arms in Turkey than there are in the United Kingdom, France, and Germany combined. Wow. The second most number of troops in NATO. But despite wanting to work with Turkey in 2014, the United States decided, you know, Turkey was in bed with the Islamic State. All the intelligence showed they were actively, passively, if not actively, supporting the Islamic State. And that's when the United States started supporting the Syrian Kurds in order to defeat the Islamic State, and they were successful. What's basically happened, we had a small number of troops, maybe 100 in northeastern Syria ever since, sort of training the Kurds, amplifying them, providing them with intelligence. That's what President Trump decided to withdraw. And when that happened, against the background of Turkish threats to invade northeast Syria, that's what we've seen the last couple of days.
Were the troops there, was the hesitancy by the Turds, by the Kurds or by the Turks to move on the Kurds in Syria, was part of that with the political, with the presence of the U.S. troops, partly political, where they didn't want to have a conflict with U.S. troops?
Well, the important thing to understand about Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, is he's a man of bluster. What I'm not sure President Trump realized, but many of his advisors did, is that when you push back on Erdogan's bluster, he usually backs down. We've seen that in 2010 with some of the demands he made on Israel after the Mavi Marmara ship interception incident, and we've seen that subsequently. So there is a lot of head scratching as to why we would cave in. One of the other problems we have here, of course, Tommy, is while Turkey says they have to fight the Kurds because the Kurds are terrorists, they can't name a single terrorist incident which arose from northern Syria, northeastern Syria, where they went. And the last issue, which is of great concern, actually two issues. One is, will this lead to the re-empowerment of the Islamic State? And number two, will this lead to the empowerment of Iran, since now in a region that was the most stable and secure in Syria, it's now complete and utter chaos? This is a region which I go to fairly frequently, and so I know the area on the ground where all the operations are going on now.
So when it comes to the Kurds initially, fighting in Turkey, is that what you said, or fighting against Turkey? What was the original beef there?
Okay, well, there's been, you have tension between the Turks and the Kurds, and when push comes to shove, they're two different ethnic groups. Starting in the 1920s, the Turks basically repressed the Kurds, said they couldn't speak their own language, they couldn't do any other aspects of their culture. In the 1980s, this led to an insurgency. That was, you often hear the term the PKK. It's actually an acronym which stands for the Kurdistan Workers Party. They were a Marxist group against the backdrop of the Cold War, which was fighting Turkey, which was opposed to NATO, and so forth. Fast forward 35 years, there are allies now. They've given up their Marxism, but the Turks say, you know, there are mortal enemies, and we can't allow them to have a statelet inside Syria.
The Kurds did help us fight against ISIS.
Absolutely. We would not have been able to defeat the Islamic State without massive numbers of troops on the ground had it not been for the Syrian Kurds. And frankly, the whole reason we supported the Syrian Kurds is because they broke, back in 2014-2015, the siege of Kobani. Kobani is a town on the Turkish border which the Islamic State laid, tried to invade. The Kurds broke the siege of that after 6 months. Now, this is where things get tricky because there's active intelligence and there's video and so forth that show that basically just a couple hundred Kurds were trying to defeat thousands of Islamic State fighters, the Turks allowed the Islamic State across their border to try to outflank the Kurdish resistors. That's what got the United States so upset.
All right, we're going to take a break, try to absorb all of that, because it is a very complex situation. And when we come back, we'll look forward, Michael, as to what has happened already, what could happen in the future, and does this say anything to our allies in the Middle East about depending on the United States in the future? Michael Rubin's our guest, resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, trying to sort out everything that's going on in Turkey and Syria with the Kurds. 7:50, 10 before 8. Traffic now, WWL. It is 7:56. I'm Tommy Tucker on WWL, talking to Michael Rubin, resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. Very quickly, Matthew Dowd, a political strategist that ran the Bush-Cheney 2004 campaign, tweeted, Senator Lindsey Graham, Nikki Haley, and other GOP Trump enablers are like Igor in the Frankenstein movies. They helped construct the monster and then are shocked when it destroys the village. And any validity to that, Michael?
Well, you know, Donald Trump, elections matter, and Donald Trump has made elections matter, and Donald Trump has made clear that he doesn't want to fight so-called endless wars. He's also made clear that he likes to keep people on edge. Now, this is something which we have to deal with. I think it's a mistake what Donald Trump is doing. But ultimately, it would be useful if the Congress would be better at fulfilling its oversight role.
So are any American troops going to remain there? And what is going to happen with Syria or whatever's left of it, Michael? Because Lord knows that country suffered. Are refugees going to be forced back into Syria? Are ISIS prisoners going to be released that the Kurds have been watching? And the president talked about them going back to Europe. Well, that I don't know if he meant in custody or not, but it seems like we're just opening the spider sack and they're getting out all over the place.
Well, okay. There is, if your listeners look at a map later, there is a town in eastern Syria called Deir ez-Zor. And on the road to Deir ez-Zor is a prisoner camp called Al-Hol, H-O-L. And that's where you got 10,000-plus Islamic State prisoners and their families, a lot of the foreign fighters. Now, the Europeans have refused to take the foreign fighters back. The Kurds have already said, you know, we're going to, we can't keep guarding them if we have to fight the Turks. And it looked like there was some coordination because as the Turks were coming in, you had a few roadside bombs go off in Raqqa, which is the former Islamic State capital. You had fires being set in the camp, and you had people start shooting at the guards. On top of which, the highest value Islamic State targets were in a prison in Qamishli, which is a town right on the Turkish border, a town which I've gone to many times. The Turks, for some reason, bombed that prison. So we don't know what's happened to some of those high-value prisoners. So it's a very, very dangerous situation here. Now, the Kurds will say they have no love for Bashar al-Assad. But if forced to choose between Bashar al-Assad and the Turks, they fear the Turks more. When the Turks came in a year and a half ago into a Syrian district called Afrin, which is further to the west, they actually ethnically cleansed the district. And by that I mean they weren't just fighting Kurdish soldiers. What they were also doing is digging up graveyards, destroying statues, forcing Kurds out of their homes.
Oh, my God. Michael, I hope you come back. Going to the news now, WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.